Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
All right, so good to see you all this morning. For those of you on this side, our brand new projector we've got, there's a bug crawling around in there, so please disregard. We're aware of this. We'll get it fixed between now and next Sunday. But, hey, please stand with us. Let's get this room warmed up this morning.
Thing we ask of you, one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives.
Arise, 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 take your place. On our praise arise, King of Kings, Holy God, as we sing it out.
One thing we ask of you.
One thing we ask of you.
Oh.
One thing that we desire.
We desire.
That as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives.
Here we go.
Arise, 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 take your place. On our praise arise, King of Kings, Holy God, as we sing arise.
Oh,
arise.
All right, we're going to have a little fun. Put your hands together. Here we go.
We lift you up, we lift you up on our praises. We lift you up, we lift you up, we lift you up on our praises.
Keep it going.
We lift you up, we lift you up, we lift you up on our praises. We lift you up, we lift you up. We lift you up on our praises.
One, two, three.
Arise, take your place. Be enthroned on our praise. Arise, King of Kings, Holy God, as we sing. Arise, take your place. Be enthroned on our praise. Arise, King of Kings, Holy God, as we sing. Arise,
thank you so much. Please have a seat. Morning, Chase.
Good morning. So great to be with you this morning. So great to be in worship with you this morning as we come gathered to give God praise in this place. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so excellent to have my privilege to welcome you this morning, for you to be in worship today. And what a great time to celebrate our Lord on this day. Like any other day, but we come here this day to give God praise. We want to especially thank our visitors for being with us, and we extend a great welcome to you and hope you feel at home here with us in worship. I would encourage you all, as the attendance pads are passed to you, to fill those out, write your name and maybe an email address or phone number so we can get in contact with you, or just to know that you're present with us here today. We welcome our youth here. We walk in to the side, and we are very excited to have youth and young people in worship. Amen?
Amen.
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 This morning, we do have some announcements to share with you. We want to thank you so much for all that you've done in raising money for the van. So far, we've raised over $35,000, which is wonderful. Thank you so much. We've collected about over 50%, so we still have a little bit of ways to go. And you'll notice to my right the blue large banners that and displays that have envelopes attached to them. There's an amount on there, and if you had placed that amount in the envelope and drop it in the offering plate or by the church, that would help us to collect more funds. We know that we need a nice, good, helpful, that runs full-time church van. Amen? So let's meet the challenge, and let's pay for this van. We also want to let you know that Hog on the Hill has been set for Sunday, October 23rd, from 4 to 7 p.m. You want to mark your calendars. I know, how many of you went last year? How many of you had a great time last year? Invite a friend, invite a neighbor, so that they can be a part of all the fun that you had. And I also want to tell you that in August, we'll be starting our Change for Change. We began this last year. You'll see just kind of tin cans and plastic bins around the church for you to put your spare change and dollars in. That will go to help fund the ministries that we share as a whole conference in Methodist Church. Those are ministries we help support that are beyond our church walls. And right now I want to invite Amy as we present our Martin Wright Scholarship recipients for 2016. We want to welcome forward Robert Ader. Blake, he's busy, so we'll give it to his dad, and we'll trust that his dad passes it off to his son. Congratulations. Blake Burgess. Lindsay Dawson, Miraculin Eby. Let's clap for these folks, right? They've earned this. Congratulations. Madison Greenfield, Bradley McNerlin. I think his brother will be taking it but not accepting it. And then Vincent McNerlin. Jacob Stancil, Bryce Wall, and Linnea Wall. We want to celebrate our college students and how they come back to church and are active among us. That's a great thing to celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us now stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him.
Ooh, let the river flow.
Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again.
Ooh, let the river flow.
with us.
Let the river flow. Let the river flow.
Come on, come on.
Sing, Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Let the river flow.
Let the poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him.
Ooh, let the river flow.
Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again.
Ooh, let the river flow. Ooh, let the river flow. Let the river flow.
Ooh,
let the river flow. Oh, let the river flow.
Come on, sing it out, y'all.
Holy Spirit, come.
Ooh.
Move in power. Let the river flow.
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 We're going to sing this one together here, nice and loud. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
My strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name, Lord. Worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy
name. Amen. Morning, Laura. Why don't our kids come forward this morning?
Good morning. How are we this morning? Good. They sound great. I want you to know that somebody told me this morning, was it you, Lily? How many more days until school starts? 18 more days. Just that tidbit of information. 24 more days. I know, yours has already started. That's right. So they start pretty soon. This morning, I want to talk about role models. Is there somebody that you consider a role model? Somebody that you look up to? Who do you look up to, Pete? You don't know? You don't look up to Jessica, your sister, maybe? Kennedy?
My parents.
Your parents. Good job. Emery?
Kennedy.
You look up to Kennedy. How about you look equal to Kennedy? Tyler.
Actually, Molly
takes care of you. Okay, one more.
Jesus.
Good answer. Do any of y'all, you know, some of y'all might actually look up to Pastor Chase as a good role model. Maybe. You know, and so sometimes role models are good. Sometimes role models can be bad if the behavior's not good. But you know what? Where's the best place to look for a good role model? Church, where else?
The Bible.
In the Bible, that's right. And so I kind of made a list. of some things that makes Jesus a very good role model. Kind, loving, what else? Part of everybody's family, honest, he talks to everybody, loves everyone. What about respectful? What else? He made everyone different. We talked about that in Sunday school today. What else? What about forgiving? Do you think he forgives us? Yeah. Every time. That's right. What about truthful? So there's several things that Jesus can be our good role model. So think about that. If there are times when you go, you know what, I really like so-and-so, or I like this person, or I like this show, or whatever, think about who the most perfect role model is, who's Jesus. And you know what, to find out where he is and what he does and how he's a good role model, is you need to read it in the Bible. All right. Hope, will you end our time together with our prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to bring salvation and to be the perfect role model for us to follow, so that we might live a life that is pleasing to you. Where others may fail, Jesus never fails. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. How about a round of applause for Miss Laura and all she does for our children each and every single week? And now I direct your attention to your bulletin for you to look in there at the names that are printed for us to be in prayer for. And I would like to add Richard Blesch to that prayer list for you to be praying for this week. Let us now bow our heads and our hearts and go to God in prayer. Lord, before there was this world that was created, there was chaos. And the scriptures tell us that you turned that chaos into order. You brought purpose and meaning. You created each and every single one of us in the image of you, the image of God. That we would reflect in our faces your love, your peace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your character. God, so often we feel like we can't catch our breath because we feel the world is caving in. We feel we've gone back to chaos again. But help us to remember, Lord, that when we put you at the center of everything, it begins to order our life back to how you want it to be lived out. When we put you first and we look to you in all things, everything else begins to make sense. We begin to treat others as we should treat them, since they too are in the image of God. So God, open our hearts, open our minds, open our arms to accept all of your children, to bring them comfort, to go out from these walls, to share your love with others who may be experiencing hate, fear, violence, loss. And may you work through us by your grace to inspire them to see who they really, truly are. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers make their way forward to receive this morning's offering, we'd just like to share with you that make an impact in the season that we're in. It's no joke that it is hot outside. And there are those in our community who truly, truly suffer because of that heat. There are cooling centers all around Little Rock, and I would encourage you to drop off water to them. If you don't know where they are, you're welcome to bring those here to our church, and we will get them to the right places. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, we give all of our lives to you. That's why we are here gathered to give you praise, that you bring deep meaning to us. And so we give back to you in various ways, through our money, through our time, through our energy, through our talents and abilities and gifts, everything we are, we give to you to use for the ministry of Christ. Amen.
He was conceived, conceived so holy. Ooh. For our lives. And he was born, born of the Mary. Ooh, was crucified, and he suffered, oh, he suffered, then was buried. Ooh. What a darkest of nights. And then something, oh, something, something amazing. Ooh. Then he arised. Well, I believe he lives and leads, oh, he leads me. He's always in control of everything, yeah. And Jesus, oh, and Jesus, oh, the Son, and the Lamb. Oh, can't you see it? Don't be blind. He's in you, you and I. Just close your eyes. Then you'll see. He's in you and me. It's our Apostles' Creed. What's our Apostles' Creed?
And we believe in His Spirit. Ooh. Yes, I love this church. And the communion, or this communion, communion of sainthood. Ooh. Yes, He forgives all our sins. And His body, oh, His body is immortal. Ooh. Yes, He is alive. Ooh. Oh, the life, oh, the life everlasting. Ooh, it's forever in you and I. Well, I believe He lives and leads. Oh, He leads me. He's always in control of everything. Jesus, oh, and Jesus, oh, the Son and the Lamb. Oh, can't you see it? Don't be blind. He's in you, you and I. Just close your eyes, then you'll see He's in you and me. What's our Apostles' Creed? What's our Apostles' Creed? Please pray with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Oh, can't you see it? Don't be blind. He's in you, you and I. Just close your eyes. Then you'll see He's in you and me. It's our Apostles' Creed. It's our Apostles' Creed. Amen. Amen.
Ow. Wow. Thank you, Mike. I'll put him down. Put him down. Thank you. Mike, did you write that?
I did. Wrote it a couple of months
what
ago.
What a
hope you
gift.
Liked it. Yeah, thank you. It spoke to me
gift.
Anyway. So.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. We're going to now turn to our scripture passage, which comes to us from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried in him with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal commands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with the growth that is from God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. I don't know about you, but the past several weeks, all I've really wanted to do is bury my head in the sand. Through all the violence we've seen, through all the hatred we've seen, all the division, admit it. At one point or another, we've wanted to just hide from the world. We've wanted to shove our heads in the sand and forget about anything of the chaos that is happening in our world, and maybe for just a moment pretend like it's not there. Pretend that it's just made up and not real. So often, we avoid, we neglect, we try to get around the reality of things. Take, for instance, just in a particular classroom, we want to avoid the teacher calling on us a lot of times, especially when we don't know the answer. And I know everybody's favorite question from the pastor is, who wants to pray? Because suddenly everyone goes silent. We want to avoid, want to ignore, we want to isolate ourselves. Particularly in the 1930s and the early 1940s, our country practiced this ideology of isolationism. After our woes with World War I, we wanted to avoid mingling in international affairs. We didn't want to be brought in to other folks' problems. But when Pearl Harbor happened, we knew that that was not a possibility. We knew that we had to respond with justice to what had been done. And since then, we have been involved. Try and spread ideals, try to spread the freedom of peoples and democracy for those people to choose who they want to lead them. And that's where we are today. We avoid isolationism. I remember as a teenager growing up, I'll admit, I didn't have a lot of close friends. And a lot of my friends came from hanging out at church. But you don't necessarily hang out at church every single day. So a lot of the times when I wasn't there, I would be in my home, in my room, by myself, watching TV, playing video games. I loved it. Every now and again, I'd have a couple neighbors come over and a couple friends to play video games with me. But a lot of times, I didn't want that. I just enjoyed my time alone. And it's a strange thing that I also just enjoyed being in that room alone. It's not like I went outside and tried to explore my neighborhood. I was isolating myself. And I wish I could say to that young Chase, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Get involved. Get out. Be with other people. What are the ways in which we isolate ourselves from others? Right before I went to college at Hendricks, I had some church folks that told me I shouldn't go. I had some church folks that tried to convince me, well, be very, very careful. You don't know what you're getting into. A lot of people have different views and they want to rip your faith from you. And so I went into my first year of college with a defense, a wall built up. I was trying to see, would someone try to get me? Someone try to ruin my faith? But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that that first year of college wasn't the best year I had. Because I was isolated. I cut myself off from experiences and other people because I might be affected by another point of view. I might talk to an atheist. Oh, goodness. I might talk to an agnostic or someone with a different opinion. And what I want to say this morning for that particular experience at college, if your faith is so weak that you cannot be confronted by outside sources and opinions and perspectives, then it's not strong to begin with. This is a little different than what I normally do. But what I want you to do is for a minute or two, I want you to turn to the people around you. I want you to share maybe a couple different ways in which you practice this isolationist kind of idea in your own life. What are some of the different ways this manifests in your own life? And if you're by yourself, just be with other people, and I'll call us back, okay? I know this is a little off the normal routine, and that can be scary. But just share with each other about feeling isolated. How does it feel to be out of the box a little bit? A little strange, uncomfortable? Yeah, I know. We're all guilty of making ourselves isolated from time to time. Wanting to be, and this is a difference between simply being an introvert. Because this is about how we as humans, and also we as Christians, it's a fundamental thing for us to be in relation with others, to be engaged with others. If we're not, something's off. We're not living up to who we truly are. There was a youth pastor that I saw who was the main speaker at a retreat. And he shared that he would listen to every song his youth listened to. Kind of scary. And he did it for a couple of different reasons. First, he wanted to know what his youth were listening to, what was entering their minds. He wanted to know so that he could possibly relate to them in a deeper way. He also wanted to know the new language they were learning, to respond and be with them so he could effectively minister to his youth group. He wanted to engage. That's what we must do, is engage. We cannot hide from the world. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world. Christ calls us to engage. And the letter to the Colossians, it focuses on Christ. Now, lots of books of the Bible, they focus on Christ, yes. But Colossians specifically wants to say that Christ is the beginning, Christ is the end, Christ is what it is all about. Christ is the center. If you remember the verses we shared at the very beginning, you're to be rooted and brought up in Christ. For Christ to be every part of your life. So what does it mean to have Christ be the center? It means that everything else in your life filters through that. When Christ is the center, how will that affect your relationship with your family? When Christ is the center, how will that affect your relationship with your friends? When Christ is at the center, how will that affect the work you do? When Christ is the center, how will that affect your money and possessions? There was a strange guy in the New Testament, if you remember, named John the Baptist. And a lot of famous part of John the Baptist is he's strange. He lived in the wilderness. He ate locusts and honey and wore strange clothes and smelled. But when it came time for him to do his mission, he didn't stay in the wilderness. He engaged. He went into the society and culture around him and taught and preached about what they must do. Baptizing to cleanse the wrongs they had done. Jesus didn't isolate himself. Jesus engaged. Jesus saw the pain and the problems in the culture and preached what should be done, demonstrated how to do it, went to those society rejected. He engaged. When Christ is at the center, it changes who we are and gives us the ability to help, by the grace of God, transform this world. How many of you saw the Super Bowl this past year? Now, I was pulling for the Carolina Panthers, and I shouldn't have, because they lost bad. How many of you saw the post-game press? Okay, all the nerds in the room, raise your hand. You may have noticed how Cam Newton responded to his gameplay. He was sitting like this with a hoodie. He was almost isolated within himself. He didn't engage with any other people. And he was very short, to the point, and upset. Now, Jana will testify that I am not a good sport at games. I am highly competitive, and lots of times I'm a really bad loser, and probably even a worse winner. But think about the witnesses that are lost when we face defeat. How much better would it have been if we had modeled Christ the sinner? Opening up, sharing love, respect, engaging. We can't just hide away in our homes. We can't just do our normal routine. Some of you have children in school, grandchildren at school. But we have to do more than just simply drop them off. We have to be engaged in the atmosphere at that school, offering what we can to help make it a better environment for learning. And for those that have children or grandchildren that play sports. Now, I know when I have kids, I don't want to be that parent that is overly aggressive about their children playing a sport. But the Wesley Foundation students had an intramural soccer league. And they were playing this other team, and I was there, and I got a little competitive. I didn't say anything I shouldn't have, but I was very animated in what I thought should happen. That's not the character we should show to our larger culture. We owe it to ourselves, and we have to, in the sake of Christ, to take the higher road. We have to thank the umpires and the coaches. We have to go over to the other team and share respect with them. We have to be the models in our society. We have to engage this society because Christ is at the center of our lives. Shouldn't it make a difference? Shouldn't it be a fundamental change? Yes. Should. There's too much going on in our world for us to hide, for us to ignore, for us to pretend it's not really happening. We have to be active in our community. We have to engage our community. Not only be active and engage, but model Christ. That doesn't mean you wear a Jesus shirt. It just means that your character and your actions are how Christ would respond in so many of those situations. When we boil it down, in the gospel and what the Bible is about, it's about Christ within us. And what Christ can do with us is incredible things. We can explode with love. We have incredible potential just right here in this room. And so what I want to see happen is I want you all to share this week two questions. I want you to think deeply about what is one new thing you could do to share love with others. Something that you've not done before. And what is one new thing our church, Asbury United Methodist Church, could do to share love with others. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Sharing the godly love we have in our hearts with others around us. I want you to talk about this. I want you to share about this in your Sunday school and casual conversations. I want you to post about it on Facebook and Twitter. I want you to talk about it at work, at school, everywhere. And I want you to let me know the ideas you have of loving in a new way. Because each person in this room has so many different ideas. Why can't we jump at it? Shame on us if we don't use the potential and the ability God has given us to share that love in a new way. If Christ is at the center of our lives, we want to share love with others. Maybe you're in a time of your life where you don't feel particularly close or feel in your heart that Christ is the center. Well, that thought alone motivates us to get back with Christ being the center. And what we do at that point is we go to the feet of Jesus. We ask for Jesus' love and grace and power to do what Jesus wants us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us be standing as we sing our closing song. There are those who would like to come forward to unite with our church, to become members, to reaffirm your faith, to have some time of prayer here. Or maybe you just want to talk with your friends about the new idea of love you have. You have permission to do that. No one can ever deny your ability to love. The depths of your mind and heart focused on love, you don't have to have permission to do those things. Let us sing with great joy.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Let's sing this together.
I'm forgiven. Because you are forsaken, I'm accepted, you are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
I'm forgiven.
Because you are forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died.
amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you.
Joy to honor you.
Amazing love,
how can it be that you, my King, would die for me?
Amazing love,
I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Go forth and engage the world and know that God's Holy Spirit is within you. They give you the strength you need, the love you need, and the resilience you need to go and be involved in our world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.